Now I declare the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding, as a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ear to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it is making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
Turn to your neighbor, please, and tell the person that is your portion in Jesus' name.
That is your portion in Jesus' name.
Turn to somebody else and bless the person that understanding is your portion.
Light is your portion.
Direction is your portion.
Say
healing in every area.
That's
your portion in the name of Jesus.
All
right, the Lord is good.
All
Let's take our seats. All right, the Lord is good. Where do we start from? Let's just read what we have been reading again and again. The book of Psalm, number 1. Let's start with that. Psalm 1. Let's just start with that one again. Last time I said I wanted to talk about the Roman road. And just a historical thing I want to bring out to highlight a practical lifestyle that we should have as believers. First of all, let's read that Psalm 1. He said, "How blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. It will be, David said, like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers." And he emphasized that the wicked are not so blessed. That's not their issue. Because they are walking in the counsel of the wicked and standing in the path of sinners and sitting in the seat of scoffers. This is the result in their life or in their lives. Verse 4. They are not so blessed, but they are like chaff which the wind drives away. He said in verse 5, they will not stand in the day of judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. Let's stop here. Now, I've read this again and again, trying to emphasize that it's a manner of life. There's a way you walk, there's a way you sit, and those things represent, in practical terms, they represent the people you talk to, they represent the places you go to look for advice. It's very important. No matter how different you think you are, the kind of people you discuss with, they influence your life. They influence your life. No matter how different you think you are, the kind of people you discuss with, they influence your life. And that is what decides what comes into your life or what will not come into your life. We have talked about before. Listen, be very careful when you are choosing your friends. Be very careful. No matter how rich and successful somebody appears like, check whether his manner of life is in accordance, like Paul said, with these things that I have taught you. If his manner of life is not in that regard, don't have him as a bosom friend. You cannot have bosom friends who are unbelievers and your faith will be strong. It is not possible. We are not, listen, the way God designed us, we cannot just stand by ourselves and be strong. It's not possible. The way God designed us is that we must have support around us in life. The kind of people that support you matter, all right? It matters a lot. The kind of people that are hang around you, they are affecting you. Faith is a substance. When I say substance now, I'm not trying to use it even in the light of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, using the King James expression. My understanding, my study over the last, over years now, what I've come to realize is that, in fact, I think it's about the most important thing I have personally learned in recent times up to today. Is the most important thing. And that's the fact that faith is like a physical substance that is spiritually not speaking. All right. Okay. Let me just say the way it is. It's a spiritual substance. You know, you can pour water in a cup. If you put water in a cup out here, after some time, let's just a small cup, leave it here. You come back in a week. You may be surprised. Especially if it's dry season, the water will dry. It goes away. Do you follow my point? That's the way it is. It's a substance like that. And then it gets consumed. That's another point I should make. You use it, all right? It has to be replenished. It gets used up. Faith is not just a set of systems or methods that you have learned and you become perfect in as time goes on. No, it's not like that. Faith is a substance. I'm tempted to use the word material, but let's use the word material now, but in the spiritual sense. Faith is a kind of material substance that you have inside you and you accumulate with time. And maybe you become more proficient in getting it with time, but you must have it. It depletes. That's what I'm going to emphasize. Depending on the kind of environment you are in, there are things that can leak your faith. And this is the interesting part. You may not realize that your faith has leaked until you need it. You know, look at somebody like Samson. He thought that the anointing or upon his life was still there. It was when he tried to use it, he realized that the thing was gone. Sometimes people have faith. They think they have faith. They don't realize that the thing has leaked. So what I want to just emphasize to us as believers is that don't even try and measure whether your faith is high or low. Just make sure you keep on filling it. Are you getting my point? You keep on filling it and you plug every leak to it. I was telling you guys the other day that my colleagues had a chat group, all right, and they were always discussing things. I kept on telling them these discussions, I don't understand the way it's going. Out of respect to the body of people, I remain in the chat group. But after a while, I couldn't take it anymore. I said, if you're going to continue like this, I just woke up one morning, I just quickly removed myself. Those who want to be offended, let them be offended. All right? But I just said to myself, I plan to tell my chairman when I see him next time that if I listened to people like you, I would never have come to Enugu. Anyway, let me not talk about them now. But the point is that I said, these guys will leak my faith. No matter how strong I think I am, all right, they will leak my faith. So simply, I pulled myself out of the system. Very important. Please, you must guard your faith. You must guard your faith. If you find out that anytime you watch a particular TV channel, how do you know your faith is going away? Let me just tell you. You used to sleep well before, you stopped sleeping well. You know, you used to talk nicely because one of, in fact, I need to talk, explain it again. There are manifestations of faith in the life of somebody. There are manifestations. Maybe later on I will talk about that substance of faith. I'll go more into how to acquire faith and the manifestations of that faith in the lives of people. It is very important we understand it. There are manifestations of faith. If you become, now, listen to this, I'm very practical here. If you are arguing with people more than you were arguing before, your faith is not being eroded, it has weakened. Listen, if you just realize that you're panicking more than you used to panic before, your faith has weakened. Something has leaked your faith. You are operating at a low level. Listen to this, though. If you fall sick more than you used to fall sick before, I am not joking, your faith is weak. Today, how are you doing? Man, a fever knock man down. The following day, how are you doing? A headache. A week later, back pain. Another week, what happened now? I'm not seeing clearly. So I'm going to see the doctor. After that, what happened again? Oh boy, I don't know whether it's the way I sat. My back has been, in 1 month. You think all the demons of this life, they redirected to your direction? No, your faith has become weak. And those are the little things. Oh, and let me add another one to it. If you are a husband and you are a wife, you and your wife used to be very happy before. Then every day, these days now, every little thing, argument. Suddenly you are quarreling more than you used to quarrel for, disagree on everything. Listen to me, your faith is leaking. That's just the point I make. It has leaked. Now, it has leaked. These are the things we do in life, that is, we observe in life, and we know that we have to go back and reload. Faith is like that. It's like something, you know, I meditated over a few days ago because I was just trying to understand it. Then just about yesterday or the day before, something just hit me again. And I realized that when the Bible says that in him was life, that word life, all right, in the scriptures, again, is a spiritual substance. It's a spiritual substance. Life is a spiritual substance which enters into you as you connect with Christ. Life is in Christ. Now, it just hit me that actually a lot of the spiritual attributes we find are the manifestations or they are the expressions of that life. They are the expressions of that life. For example, the ability to show the love of God to people is a manifestation of that life. The ability to have faith, and that's why I've been emphasizing, faith is not a method. Now, for a long time, I think I was confused like that too. I think that faith is you learn certain methods by which you do certain things. No, faith is the manifestation of divine life working in you. It's as if it can be measured, even if you're not using it. It is when faith is inside your heart, you find some manifestations easy. That is why God will say something, and it will, you will believe it and act by it, and by, you act, you know, according to that word. God will say to you, go into the promised land, you are able. And your name is Joshua, your name is Caleb. Alright? You just discover that that thing gave you confidence. Some people heard the same words, but it did not give them that same confidence. They heard exactly the same thing, saw exactly the same giants, saw the same circumstances, the same situations. They didn't have the confidence. They didn't have it. Why? The Bible says there was no faith in their heart. By the time the word came, it did not meet faith in their heart. You know, many years ago, many of you were there when Pastor Paul was teaching. That was the first time I went to look for him as a person that, who's the person writing these things? I went to eat somewhere, and I saw a magazine, and the person talked about manna, the food of champions. Believe me, what I read that day, I finally was, you know, you can hear something, okay, and you think you know it, all right? It's a normal thing about life, okay? But I was able finally to decode that thing properly just about a year or two ago. And I read that thing in 1997. And I was just teaching here, something just hit me. He said something there, this point I want to make. He said that, why was it that Joshua and Caleb believed God? Why was it that they felt that they could enter the promised land and take on the giants? The explanation was very funny, all right? You will understand why it took me such a long time to get it. He said it was because they were feeding on manna. I like the fact that you don't know what I'm talking about. It's like that. Me too. I thought, I just said, whoever wrote this one, let me go and hear other things he's saying. Even that one didn't make too much sense. I suppose that what somebody's eating is affecting what he's doing. Of course, these are spiritual, all right, types. He said it was because they were feeding on manna. And that if you check, Joshua and Caleb, when God gave them manna, they ate the manna with joy. But that the other people, they were the ones desiring the food in Egypt. They were the ones asking for meat. They were the ones making all kinds of demands. And, you know, I just realized that, I think, of course, we're not taking that manna this time around, literally. There's no manna, physically speaking. But it's what you're feeding yourself with, that in faith is not just that, okay, I have heard it and I believe it. I don't know what I get the point. All right? Faith is that there's a substance inside your heart so that when next you hear God speak, it resonates with your person. You make decisions based, I mean, think about it. Joshua, Caleb saw the same problems and had a different conclusion, even though they had the same information, they had the same words. Like you read the book of Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4, he said the word spoken to them, all right, they had the same thing. Good news was preached to them, they had the same thing, but they came to a different conclusion. That is, when the word entered their heart, it met something there. That thing the word met in their heart is what is called faith. And that's what I'm teaching, that's what I'm trying to emphasize. When the word met faith in their heart, when they saw the giants, they believed what the word said, that we will take the land. We are able to take the land. Why? Because God said we can. It's not just the information. I want you to understand it. It's not just the information. It is that I keep on using the word material, even though it's spiritual, I want to say, but to let you know the tangibility of the substance we are talking about. What am I saying? It can leak. You can be a man of great faith today, and you're a man of weak faith tomorrow. It can leak. Faith is not like physical stature. So you grow spiritually, you're not a big man. That's not what faith is. Faith is something you acquire. It's like money. As an example, you can be rich today and poor tomorrow. Very possible. It's like food. You can eat and you're so full, they offer you food. You say you don't want. Then a day later, somebody says, look at this man picking food from the ground. Was not the man they offered the best morsel of meat yesterday and he refused it? Yesterday he was full. But now he's empty. And that's what I'm trying to explain to people. You must take care to ensure that your faith does not leak. The danger of it is that many times it leaks, we don't even know it's gone. And as I gave those few tips, trivial things like he starts falling sick anyhow. And somebody says it is the weather. It's not the weather, it's your faith. You're falling sick anyhow. Somebody says it's because it's an epidemic. It's not the epidemic, it's your faith. The hair news of Lassa fever, you start running up and down. Have you washed your hand? One of my colleagues then, you come to work. I said, but how now? He said, okay, guy, you go give me shoulder. He will pass his shoulder to you. I said, what is happening? He will jokingly remind you that there's Lassa fever. Lassa fever does not kill believers. Lack of faith does. Ebola cannot kill a Christian. Lack of faith is what kills them. Bad economy does not kill the faith, kill the businesses or lifestyles of Christians. It's lack of faith that does it. And it's a terrible thing in society today that Christians fall for it. Every time somebody decides teaching on how to plan for your destiny and your future, they queue up there. Pay good money. Because one Stanford educated financial planner has come to town. I'm sorry to say, I won't give you when it comes to money, I'm planning my future, I won't give you a couple. I'll give my money to preachers. What do you know? You are only talking based on history. You are talking based on what eyes have seen, ears have heard. And the way life is, you know, the other day I read about the tsunami that crippled the Fukushima reactors in Japan. No, that was 2 years ago now. Yes. The word tsunami is a Japanese word. So they are used to tsunamis. There was still an earthquake yesterday and on Thursday. All right? The Thursday one, they said it's a pre-shock. That was my first time hearing the word pre-shock. I was used to aftershock. So the Thursday one that killed a few people was a pre-shock of the Friday one. They are used to it. So, you know what I'm talking about? They built defenses for the tsunamis. The defense they built, now, that is what I'm telling the story. The defense that was built against tsunami, the one that affected the Fukushima reactor, all right? That defense was built with the knowledge of the highest tsunami they have ever seen, which happened to have happened in South America. I can't remember for sure, but I think they said the tsunami was like 6 meters high. So they built defenses against the highest tsunami the world had ever seen. When that one came, it was 18 meters high. It was 3 times the height of the one that the world had ever seen before. There's nobody, I don't care where you're educated, you can't plan my future for me. Because you can only build your anti-tsunami, defenses based on what you have seen. But when God is going to come with his judgment on the earth, you will not be able to stand him. The day I read that thing, I said, no wonder the Bible says, cursed be the man that trusts in flesh. It's not like God is angry. He's sorry. Not as if he's angry, sorry. So this man trusts in flesh, he's walking under a curse. But blessed is the man whose trust is in the Lord. Listen, the world is engineered to cripple and end your faith. And Christians queue up there a lot of times, learning their words. That's the point I'm making. What should we be doing? Learning the word of God. Faith is not only a tangible substance, spiritually speaking, it's a force. It doesn't just keep your heart at peace. It rises up to defend you in the time of trouble. When Joshua believed God, it was not a joke. When Caleb believed God, it was not a joke. The faith in the heart of Caleb made sure the man could not age for 45 years. That is, Caleb said declaredly to Joshua, let us test it. I can shoot an arrow as far now as I was shooting it 45 years ago. Let's climb the mountain and go to war. I can do exactly what I was doing 45 years ago. That was the power of faith working in his life. Let me tell you something. You know the problem we have, you, me, all of us Christians, it's a simple problem. We don't feed our faith enough. It's about feeding. It's not about learning methods. We spend much time learning methods. We don't just, it's like saying, faith, sit down, eat something. We don't do enough of it. Because let us assume, hypothetically speaking, that the Lord Jesus walked in a level of faith that we can measure at 100. Most people that I get on a regular basis, now I'm not talking about what I call the flashes of faith, volatile faith. I mentioned it about the other day, in which God just pours something. But talking about walking normally, assuming the Lord Jesus walked on this earth at a measure of 100, anybody that attains 10 right now is a great man of faith. So if personally sometimes you attain something like 5, 6, you feel like you have faith. I think most Christians operate, if Jesus has 100 in his days, we operate something between 0 and 1.5. Most Christians. So if occasionally we lift up our faith and we cross the 5, 6, 7 level, hit 10, we feel good. We don't understand that if only we have fed that faith, that 100 is attainable. We don't feed faith enough. We eat normal food regularly. Okay, many of us now, we are coming from wedding, we chop. Naming ceremony, you eat. Breakfast in your house, you will eat. By afternoon, you're hungry, you eat something. At night, you say, I'm trembling, you will eat. We feed our bodies regularly. But believe me, we don't feed our faith that well. That's what I'm talking about. We don't feed our faith that well. How many times have you heard people go on a faith diet? Even when they use the name of God in vain, they put it on food. They call it hallelujah diet, which is nothing but taking the name of the Lord our God in vain. Now, what I'm trying to emphasize is that we come up with all kinds of diets to feed our body, take good care of our body. We don't, generally speaking, have such concerted efforts for taking care of feeding our faith. No, it's very rare. Occasionally we go on, maybe we binge, you know they call binging? Binge eating. Yes. You know, this, physically, this is what it means. Like maybe I've been on a diet for some days, and then one weekend I say, oh, I beg, this diet is not working. It's destroying a man's confidence, you know that kind of thing. You now start eating, you just eat everything, pack everything into your mouth. Eat bread, eat chocolate, eat yam, eat meat, just eat everything. And you eat like that maybe for a day or two, they call it binge eating. Now, we do a lot of binge eating in Christianity. Those of us who are good Christians. We pride ourselves in it, but it's nothing but binge eating. That is, we'll go for a conference 1 week, hear word, morning, afternoon, and night, 1 week. Next 1 month, nothing. Nothing. We don't realize that just like physical food, spiritual food is also like that. You can't feed on it so much that it lasts you for the next 1 month. No. Just like physical food dissipates, spiritual food also wears down. You have to continue feeding it. Once in a while, we'll just take a few days off, read the Bible, study, pray, fellowship, worship. It's binge eating. Then the next 1 week, nothing. That is why the faith is not strong. That's what I'm going to emphasize in this series. Faith must be built strong. We don't feed it enough. That's why God emphasized to them, man shall not live by bread alone. What does that mean? Even though you don't get the job, even though your mates are doing 4 shifts to earn 4 times the amount of money you are earning, don't worry. The 3 extra shifts that's giving them the extra money, all right, is not going to amount to anything because man does not live by bread alone. What does it say? Have the confidence to refuse some jobs. And said, no, that's going to eat into my faith-feeding regimen. Take an extra job. You earn more money. Say, man does not live by bread alone. What that money will have produced for me, if I feed my faith well, I speak those words, those things will manifest. You know, I told you that sometimes things we call blessing, God calls them vanity. Most of our testimonies, God doesn't want to hear them. Praise the Lord. You know, last year I began to believe God for a car, and I was declaring it every day, and I put a picture on the wall, and I declared it, and I put a picture on the wall. After 4 weeks or 4 months, the car appeared. Praise God, my faith works. Because this boy used his faith for vanity. We exercise ourselves, and at the end of the day, what we produce is what? Vanity. I will come and testify about it. That's the side of it. What his life does, let me just quickly tell you. One of the things that Satan does, which God has allowed him to do, is to distract us. Yes. What he gives people is distractions. He came to Jesus and offered him political office. Yes. We are going to make you a king. It was an offer. Look, we will become our king. The human beings wanted to place him in a position that is going to cripple what God wants him to do. That's what life is. That's what Satan does in life. Sometimes some of the things we call open doors, opportunities, they are nothing but places where our faith will vanish. Satan knows it. And that's why I say, look, you are somewhere, your faith is being built, everything is going on well. Instead of you to take your life stage by stage, suddenly somebody gives you claims it's a job. It's going to pay you better. If you move your business from here to here, you make more money. Suddenly the door opens. As you're looking at the door, you can see clearly that the life that was flowing into you from this side is not absent, is not present here. God does not allow you to be deceived with that one. He can see, you can see clearly. That's what I was saying the other day. When you are making the, you know, I mentioned it here, was it last week or 2 weeks ago? I said, when you want to know whether you really have faith in life, it's not even what you do for yourself alone. Check what you are doing for your children. Many people are plotting for their children. They don't put, it's not even inside their minds, whether this child's faith will be built up or not. Let him just get a good education. That's all. Meanwhile, God said it clearly to us through Abraham. When he was talking to Abraham and the record of it was given to Moses to write for us, he said the manifestation of God's promise in the life of your children or in the lives of your children is dependent upon whether they learn righteousness and justice or not. Not whether they have a degree from Harvard. He said if the promise I've given to Abraham will be fulfilled, his household, his children after him must learn righteousness and what? Justice. I think it's more important for parents, therefore, to check. If you want to strategize for the destiny of your children, it must be a higher. That is, in your scale of preference, that they're learning righteousness and justice. Now, you know, when you get to America, you know, in fact, people say stupid things like, I want to have my child in America to give him an opportunity. That is a stupid statement. There are things a Christian will say, God will just come out part of your inheritance. That's your neighbor. Say, leave that girl. Hold this one. And you hear Christians talk sometimes. In fact, first, when you hear Nigerians talk, you now know why our prayers have been so hard to answer. And as God said, I want to answer you, man. But look at the brethren you are praying for. When they talk sometimes, you know the angels that were carrying blessing, they hang around. Just hear them talk. Faith is so weak. You understand why the angel? You will understand why fuel is scarce. No, God said fuel. I get plenty. I can give you people fuel to bathe if that's what you want to use it for. If not for the flammability, you can use it to bathe. It's so plenty. Where you think it's pipeline that's bringing fuel, or ships, or refineries? It's God. He just uses those methods. Why don't I give people fuel? God said, wait, just open the door. Listen to the nonsense your brethren are talking. If you were God, would you give them fuel? But there are times I look. He said, if I was God, I ain't giving anybody nothing. Everybody bicycle. If you don't, that is. Don't get the angels to share our bicycles. You will go ride by force. The most luxurious thing in your society will be keke napep. Why not for the mercy of God? Honestly, why not for the mercy of God? I want to emphasize something. That, listen, in this life, Satan's job is just to distract us away, all right, from the place where our faith will be fed. That's why I want you to know that when people start making plans for their lives, they don't check what will feed my faith. How will my faith be fed? They check, but what will feed my pocket? What will feed my car? What will feed my house? I mean, build a nice house. What will feed all of these things? But what will feed my faith? They don't focus on it. And that is what the problem is. That's why faith is weak. The problem of faith is not that we have not learned the methods. It's that we don't have it. And when we don't have it, it is because we are not feeding it. Because actually, as believers, we are supposed to have it. God has given it to us. Because I now understand that it's an impartation of God's spirit. That's why I said that the word life, you know, I thank God that I studied science. You know, in science, they talk about energy. Energy can be converted from one form to another. Life is like that also. There are different manifestations of conversion, all right, forms of life. And one of them is faith. When people don't build up their faith, that's a major problem. And as believers, I am convinced. I talk to Christians. That is a major problem. When we talk a lot of times, you can see this talk contains no faith. There are not things spoken by barrels full of faith. Why? It's simple. We leak our faith every day. Our bosom friends are unbelievers. We hang out to go to... Listen, I'll say this one to you clearly. If you go to a church where all they do is complain and grumble and bind the enemy and face the devil and chase a people who do say they will not progress and all of that, leave. Your faith is dying. It is dying. You cannot preserve it. It's like you're going to a bucateria where you're supposed to be fed. And they are giving you poisoned food every day. And you're still going back there. That's my grandfather that started it. Last week you went there, you ate. You had diarrhea. Yesterday, you went, you ate. Your eye is still red. What's wrong with you? I don't know what they put in the food. And you are back. Come on. Are you a glutton for punishment? Throughout the week, they go nowhere else. It's not as if they are being fed anywhere else. They come to a buka, a source of food, the cafeteria in their life. And every day, the person is sending them rotten meat. He said, but this meat is not good now. I said, manage it. That's the one we have. And you eat it. And you pay. And you're back. Next time you're hungry, to eat again. And when there's problem in your family, they tell you it's the devil. Listen, just ban devil from your mouth. For 1 month. Ascribe everything to you and God, and you'll see how your life will change. Just 1 month. Just look at your life and check your relationship with your God in 1 month and see whether your life will not change. This devil bashing is the problem we have had. What called devil bashing? What happened? Your car jammed yesterday. It's the devil. Did you sleep well the last 1 week? No, I was too busy. And your car can't jam. It's the devil. You were driving, you ran into the gutter because you fell asleep. It's the devil. Like I told you, the fellow who was carrying my colleague, Tobakiliki, the car ran into the bush because the driver fell asleep. God delivered them. He was about to hit a tree, except that it was soft ground. So the car sank about 1 meter from a tree. They were going to hit the tree head on like that. But as the good Lord will save them, the car sank into the loose ground. The driver jumped out and said, who is doing this to me? That is the problem we are having currently in Christianity. Instead of pointing, that asking ourselves what happened to me, we point at the devil. As I call it, devil bashing. What am I trying to say? We need to feed this faith, though. Faith is something you feed. You deliberately pack food, good spiritual food, into its mouth. And if you see where they are feeding your faith with poison, you run. You close your ears. There are TV channels you shouldn't watch. What are you doing watching it? And listen, What you are thinking, what you are believing, they are not neutral things. If every day you tune TV channel, you tell you all the problems in society, Boko Haram, kidnapping, gunshot, this and that, and you focus on it, listen, this is a matter of fact. It builds up fear in you. Fear goes out in the realm of the spirit and starts calling calamity towards you. I know what I'm telling you. It's a matter of fact. What am I going to emphasize? You know, in fact, the only one we have read is this Psalm 1, right? Just trying to amplify it again. Why it is necessary we guard, protect, keep, deliberately make sure our faith is fed and nourished. We must deliberately go out to go and look for faith and ensure that it is part food in our hearts. Let's continue reading. The book of Romans chapter 10. I want to give a practical tip today. Now the Bible says that to whom much is given, much is required. Yes, much is expected. There's a reason why you wonder why am I quoting that. The fact that the person that has much, from him much will be required. Now, the book of Romans chapter 10. Because I just look at my time, I've spent quite a bit of time talking about the other thing. Let me see how I can be quick with this. Let's just start from the verse 8. He said, but what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we are preaching. Talking about how do we go out to go and get faith. I said I want to give you a practical tip. Remember, before we read this, let me just remind us of the one we have been reading. Deuteronomy chapter 6, right? We read especially verse 7 in the Amplified Bible. And what did he say there? He said that this word that I'm speaking to you today, this commandment, shall first be in your heart and your mind. Then you shall sharpen them so as to make them penetrate. He said you shall wet and sharpen them so as to make them penetrate into the hearts of your children. How do you do that? What's the process of sharpening and wetting the edge? It is by constantly talking about it. It's constant repetition. You go over that thing again and again and again and again. And I've been emphasizing to us that we must create a culture of talking about the Lord. We must create a culture of talking the word of God. We must create a culture in which the word of God forms the basis of everything we are discussing. It's a good practice to start something by considering God's word, even if it's not a discussion in the house, about food, about your children, about the economy. You start with God's word as a standard and end with divine counsel as the outcome of everything. You analyze everything that's going on in the country. You end with the talk. We know that our Redeemer liveth. Are you getting my point? That must be the end of the talk. All right? You look at it and say, God wants to bless us in this country. What we're just observing that I watched on the news, and it's like God wants to bless us. God has a blessing for us. We're the salt of the earth. God wants to pour a blessing to our lives. I heard that pipelines were blown. That's why we have that vandals went, saboteurs, all right, militants, went and blew up gas pipelines. And that's why we were having problems with the power supply. So I heard the president read them a riot act the other day, and it was threatening them. And they have unleashed some heavy divisions of Nigerian Navy to go and clean all the creeks of all of that. You're talking news, all right? We started with divine counsel. We end again with divine counsel. In the midst of everything, we trust that God rules in the affairs of men. We pray that he will continue to show us mercy. And you talk and all that, but at the end of the day, I know the thoughts he has for us, they are thoughts of good, not of evil. He will give us a future and a hope. He will supply our needs even when things are difficult. He will make all grace abound towards us. We have all sufficiency in all things. We'll abound to every good work. Now, this is counsel. You're not preaching. It's your wife and you, two of you are talking. And your children are hearing. That's what I call the ambience of faith. It must be the talk. And listen, there's what the Bible calls considering the testimonies. You rehearse testimonies. When people tell you, divide the country into 17 pieces, you explain to them why it is not doable, according to divine counsel. And then when you are believers, you say, wait, when you are finished dividing it, you don't know it will be more difficult to cross with the gospel from one border to another? Just by the way, let me just digress a bit. Imagine that Nigeria is divided. To go and preach in Bauchi, to go and preach in Borno State, or Sokoto, where I go, at least that one I've gone many times and I still go, to go and preach in Sokoto, I can't apply for visa to say I'm a missionary. No matter how Islamic you are in Nigeria today, you can't stop me from coming. Even the bill, they said El-Rufai is put. Once I read that bill, I said, why are people talking? Any federal high court judge, we are not lit as being unconstitutional. Get a lawyer to read it for you. It's not even the passing to law that stands up. And people are already standing up saying, you cannot. What's the name of this guy? Omega Fire. So the man don't read death sentence on his head. Say, if that thing stands, you will die. You're going to say, my ministry is not called Omega Fire for nothing. Like I said, no, we may talk about. No, I'm just trying to say that sometimes we don't know the good thing that God is doing for us. We open our mouth just talking nonsense. These are the reasons why God will not divide this country. He won't. I'm telling you, some of you here will be divided. Because your father is from here. They'll Solomon you. Divide the child. This one is from the east, this one is from the west. The Lord is good. And we're reading the Bible, right? Okay, so I was saying that's how we talk. When we're talking, we lace everything we say with the counsel of God. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. That's why I'm talking about the ambience of faith. The ambience of faith. Our children are listening. We ourselves, we are hearing. I like what the pastor Paul said when he came. But there was a new dimension to that for me. He said, when you hear the first time, that's hearing from outside. Then when you utter words, you are hearing from inside. That you have not yet heard, really, until you hear from inside. That the words become more powerful when you utter them. And that's why I'm emphasizing to us again. Those are our discussions, are the discussions of faith. When we come here, and everybody say after me, in the name of Jesus, that's not practice. What did I say?
Practice.
That's practice. Because even if you're a Muslim, you will repeat after me. No matter what you are, you will repeat after me. It is when those words make you repeat them spontaneously, when nobody's dictating what you will say, that is when they really become effective. Now, when we are in large groups like this, we are practicing. That's why I keep on emphasizing on Tuesdays, that we are learning how, that the real prayer is when we get back home. It's the things that really, really come out of your heart spontaneously. So please remember, we must create what? The ambience of faith around us. It is important that we create that ambience. And that's what I'm going on to develop. I've been trying to get to it, but it's just been proving a bit difficult. But we'll get there in a moment. All right? Now, we read somewhere just. We're reading Romans chapter 10. Okay, so let's continue. So let's just continue reading from verse 8. It says, what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth, he confesses, resulting in salvation. But the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on him. Sorry, I didn't intend to read this long, but let me just jump to where I was. I say, for whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, he now said, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good tidings. He said, however, they did not all hear the good news. For Isaiah says this, Lord, who has believed our report? And I said, the summary of everything is verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Now, the dimension I want to bring here today, just to continue what we're talking about, is ambience of faith. I introduced it last time. We have seen that faith is a substance, is a spiritually tangible stuff that God pours into our hearts. And he's saying here, how does God pour it? One major method by which he pours it. In fact, not major. The main method by which he pours it is through the things that we hear. Remember that. That's why we're talking about this ambience. And that's why we've been reading it for the last few weeks. From that Deuteronomy chapter 6. What we talk about all the time is conveying something into our hearts. The Lord Jesus said something in the book of John chapter 6. For time's sake, we won't open to it and start reading now. It's something that we all know very well. He said that the words that I speak, all right? He said the flesh profits nothing. It is the spirit that gives life. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. That is a Greek way of talking. What he was saying in modern, in simple way of expressing things is this. They were discussing about things he was saying. He said the letters themselves, the sounds you hear, the vibrations of your eardrum, those things that you hear, the letters you read, it also applies to reading. They themselves are not the substance. It is the method by which God passes the real substance. So he said, the words that I speak, he said, the flesh profits not. That's what it means. That's not the real substance. The material thing you are seeing is not the real substance. It is what they carry. It's what they transmit. That it is God's method of transmitting life into a situation. He said, the words that I speak, they carry a spiritual substance that imparts life when they get into the place where they are going. That's what they were saying. That's what I was saying earlier. That faith is a manifestation of that presence of divine life in a situation. If life is in your heart, it manifests as faith. So he said, how does it come? He said, the words that I speak, they are, it's not the letters, okay? It is the substance that they carry. And what is that substance? It's a life of faith. It is a substance that turns into faith when it is required in your heart. What am I trying to say? The way by which God sends faith into our hearts is by what we hear. Are you getting my point? That's what I've been saying. Guard your heart with all diligence. And these things are not innocent. They are not innocent. You know, I was talking to my friend today, the American Supreme Court, by judgment 5-4, legalized homosexual marriages across all the states in the United States. And I said to him, I see what you guys are doing, at least in the U.S. He said, what happened? I haven't heard. I said, oh, you guys just declared homosexual marriages legal. We'll pass some comments. He said, I'm not surprised. I said, why? He said, because it's a plan. They hatched this plan more than 15 years ago. Now, I'm going somewhere. That what they did was to systematically erode the repulsion you feel about such things. Most people who support homosexual marriages in those countries are not homosexuals. They are not planning to be. They really don't care. That what the people just did was to systematically change their response. They stylishly, all right, comments here and there. And I read this an article written by Reverend Father many years ago. Long. What I'm telling you is not less. It's likely to be up to 20 years. And he warned about some of these things. That what these guys do, okay, is to simply position themselves in strategic places. You will find few of them as prominent doctors. They're not. It doesn't work. I mean, what are they going to do with it? All right. Where they go is media. You go to these major magazines, Newsweek, CNN, all of them, they have prominent people there. There are plenty like that. If I give you some names, you'll be surprised. They are all over the place. But where the job they go for, the target is editor. Not even being a news a journalist. The target being editors. And the fellow giving the statistics showed it that, assuming that they are 5% of the population, amongst news editors, they were like 40%. No, the proportion was outrageous. He said it's a strategy. So what they did was stylishly present news, show things, present themselves as victims. First, they change the words. That's why you see me clearly avoid the word gay. If you check it, I hardly use it. You only hear me use it at times like this to let you know I'm not using it. It was deliberate. They presented the words to you that, no, these guys are not, nothing wrong, is they are gay people. So you buy the word gay, they are changing your mind. Words are like that. Words are used to change your spirit, change the way you react to things. These words are not. So my friend said, listen, I said something to him. He said, I said, confused people. He said, Banky, they are not confused. He said, they are satanists. He said, they are not confused. He said, they are satanists. That these are deliberate attempts by satanists to corrupt a godly system. How do they do it? They use words. That's why I said, guard your heart. Words are not innocent. They impact a spiritual substance. They impact a spiritual substance. They are not innocent. They are telling you something. It's not just the information. It is the spirit they carry into you. Words can carry the spirit of fear. That's why when God wants to bless people, he tells them something. If I like the way he said to Moses, say to Aaron and to his children, thus you will bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them. That is, it's not give them money. It's not pray for them. It's tell them something. It's not lay hands on them. Pour anointing oil. He said, no. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you. He said, when you say these things, then I will come around and bless them. Listen, words. I hope you're getting my point here. So the words of faith. When God wants to pour faith into our hearts, what he uses is the same thing. Words. Now, I read something earlier. Because I'm talking about creating that ambience of faith around you. And I said I want to talk about what I call the Roman road. All right, let me just mention it. I finally be able to get to it. What do I mean by Roman road? Just my way of explaining what God does in our lives. Let me quickly drop this for you again. We'll see all of these things. We'll keep on learning. There's no technology that human being invented. Human beings do not have the ability to invent technology. God did not give that one to us. Wisdom is hidden by God and released when he wants to. Over the last many years, in the last few years on this earth, knowledge has increased like the Bible prophesied it will increase. God is the one that said, okay, now knowledge. How do we spread it? Create what they call the internet. And he dropped the idea in somebody's mind. Okay, an internet started by the American government trying to ensure that they can control their arsenal from different places at the same time. All right, so that in case the Russians blow up this place, the same set of controls are available in another part of the world. That was the origin of the internet. But God knew what he was doing. Next thing they realized that, look, this is simple information. We can use this, it's information sharing method. Let's make a long story short. Over decades, what we now have is one computer, like your phone, talking to another computer in China. We call it the internet. It's not a human idea. It is a divine idea. I want you to understand. And everything has a purpose. Everything has a purpose. Long before television came to be, this man saw. I don't know whether he saw a picture or he was just musing about it, and the Lord helped him to understand. And there was no radio. But they were beginning to be able to record some things. John Alexander Dowie, who died around the turn of the 19th century, 18-something to 19-something, right? Those days. Around that time, he said that I see a day that because he was ministering to the sick, and it was so for him, how many people can I lay hands on here? How many people can come to Zion City? All right? How many people can come? Okay, so what do we do? He said, one day it will happen that my words will be transmitted live from here, from the tabernacle here, to the bedside of the sick. That was radio. It did not exist that time. And then one day he said that it will also happen that my picture will be shown to them live. But he said it long ago. That will happen. And look at it. Ben Hill will sit down at home. And as I'm telling you, somebody's watching me from this particular state. Touch your screen. I'm going to pray for you. Healing will come to you. The other day we talked about healing on radio. All right? And it was in the air. And somebody, and of course, by the time we finished preaching, I said, now, if you're out there, follow me. I want to pray for you. If you are driving, park. Do something to show a sign. That is, do something as a sign of your faith to connect with the prayer that I'm praying. If you are driving, park. If you are listening to a radio, put your hand on it. We just said some of those things, and then we began to pray. And somebody sent a message in later that when he followed those prayers, he got healed. Are you getting my point? God designed those things that so that why do you have to come somewhere, somebody lay hands on you? Stay where you are. The word can be sent. That's why God invented technology. If you're a preacher today and you're not doing your work, I don't know what your excuse is. Some people tell me that, how do you manage? You write. I say, I get a laptop. You know, if you see me typing now, when my wife was even doing her project in her MBA then, I type a lot of it for her. Why? Because I can type fast. I learned to type writing tracts and books. Yes, I'm not kidding. I now write all my books straight. Now, these days, I've lost a book before. There's a book I had gone almost halfway through, How to Receive from God. My computer had a problem. I copied away all my files. I didn't know when I formatted it without copying that one away. So now I write straight from Dropbox. Next time I'm going to pick my phone, open it, I continue writing on the phone. When I click save, it's back on the server. When I get back home, I bring out the laptop. I just, you know, that's what God gave this technology for a reason. It does not include sitting down and watching a home video and football and sitting down and doing nothing. I just say, how can you Genevieve do like that? Everything that has an advantage has abuse. Are you getting my point? Every good thing can be abused. So on the internet, people spread a lot of rubbish. They spread a lot of iniquity. But God did not design it for that. And that's why one of my friends said, he said, listen, we Christians have a responsibility to populate the place also. Not hiding. Let's also generate good and flood the whole place. Please, I'm going somewhere about technology. Technology was designed by God, not by human beings, for his purpose. Why did I talk about the Roman road, which is what I want to use as my caption for my message today, even though I got to it so late, I'm wondering whether it's not appropriate. I first heard this spoken about when I was listening to James D. Kennedy on Coral Ridge Hour on TV. Then when I was going to prepare this message, I just remembered it, so I went and searched out. I stumbled into a few sites that have the information. Let me just read a bit from one of them. They said the spread of Christianity was facilitated by various factors, among them the structures that were present in the Roman Empire. They quoted one author, Gascoigne, and he says that though the early Roman Empire may have not embraced Christianity and may even have persecuted it, it nonetheless provided a network of communications which greatly facilitated its dissemination. I was quoting somebody. Say, among the critical contributions of the empire to the spread of the gospel was the provision of infrastructure, seaways, roads, and trade routes that the early missionaries such as Paul used to move from one place to another. The man said the primary concern of this thing I'm writing is to highlight why the Roman road system was a facilitating factor for the spread of Christianity. Let me stop reading there. That is, for Christianity to spread, God went ahead, made sure that the Romans conquered the world. He made them do what the Greeks did not do, what the Persians did not do. Romans came in and built roads that still exist till today. For that reason, Paul and Co. could quickly travel. They structured sea travel, all of those things. They thought they were doing trade, advancing their kingdom. But actually, God was preparing the method by which his own kingdom will advance. Are you getting my point? Let me quickly drop something for you, because it might help you help some preachers. Sometimes people say that, we were joking today at Emeka's wedding. We sat on the table. Me, Onye, who else was there? My wife was there. Who else was there? Uju, who else was there? Eh? Yeah, okay, yes, Esther, all of that. We're sitting down on that table. And we're discussing, Chima was there also. Some people were taking pictures. So I was yabbing Onye that you will pay for that photo. I said, Chima has spot all of you. That Chima will come, take good pictures, and you don't pay. So you think photography is free. I said, it's not free. These are expensive things. That now brought up to the gist about Kingdom World Ministries. And I remember somebody that wrote us a mail that once wanted to go get a particular message by one particular man of God. I won't mention the name. So he said, go to the man's website. And I wanted to download the message. They said, pay. Book, pay. So he concluded that he was on the wrong site where they steal people's money. So he left, went back to Google, and continued to search. Then after he had finished searching up and down, I realized that this is not a pirate site. This is a real site. He said it dawned on him that he had been spoiled by Pastor Banky. That was why he wrote us a mail. Because as at now, we have almost 1,100 complete messages on our website, free to download from any part of the world. All our books there you can download for free. Should I say yes, it's now there. People are downloading hundreds of copies every month, just downloading it away. The day I sent a tweet that is now available for free download, somebody said, I'm dancing on my head right here. So that's why we're talking about it. Now, people say that, why did you do that? The only question I want to ask is, what is the only reason for not doing it? That, just think about it for a moment. Say, so, Pastor Banky, why do you do that? Why do you give the materials for free? I'm not going to answer that one yet. What I want to answer is, what would be the reason why I should not do that? Because I've thought about it to the left and to the right. What would be the reason? There is no reason I know. If you know one, come and share with me. Once I went to a website, I saw a book by one of these old Chinese authors. I wanted to write. By the time I finished reading the caption under it, you can't copy, you can't save, you can just read it online. Why they don't? I just said, what's all of this? Of course, I shut it down. I didn't read it again. The wahala was too much to read the revelation of God. The restrictions were plenty. I have thought about it. And I came to the conclusion that just like the Romans built the roads, are you getting my point? For the advancement of the gospel without knowing it, my own understanding is that God created this internet for us to advance the gospel. That's what I see. All this technology, and remember the days when to get one book, you go walk up and down. Those for me to buy W. Kenyon and Carnegie in those days, it took faith. You know my faith. Oh, Father God, you release the money because related to what I had, it was heavy pay. Heavy money. But these days, thank God for technology. One day, this man entered my house and said, sir, I wanted you to be the first to have this. What is it? He gave me nothing less than, it can't be less than 300 messages by Kenneth Hagin. One soup. Shoot, I just copied. And I have been giving everybody that cared. Israel has given everybody that came to harass him. Yes. Listen, anybody wants to arrest me, I will say it. At the point in time, I selected a choice set of messages that Carnegie taught on divine healing to a school of ministers. I uploaded to our website and sent the link to my brethren in their mailing group, 400 people. Only one or two people said, ah, Vanky, thank you. But good enough, I could check. Of course, if you run a website, you know. You can check the number of downloads. Man, guys were massive downloading. They didn't say anything. They didn't say, oh, thank you, Bro Vanky. No, nothing. But just go behind. Massive download. They download. I said, look, I remember when, the first day I got one tape, Compassion of the Lord by Kenneth Hagin. In 1989, thereabout, University of Benin, where I read Kenneth Hagin books, then somebody came with this message, and we put in the tape. I still remember the feeling. We all sat like this. We're hearing this angelic voice for the first time. God has come in the likeness of man. I'm sure nobody moved. He was talking. We have seen faith rise mountain high when men have been able to see this truth. The voice was as if God was talking. We knew how Moses felt when they were at the foot of Mount Sinai. One cassette. When I got Bishop Oyedepo's The Gospel of Abundance. Wow, my first time, I heard about the man there and that, but then when I heard The Gospel of Abundance, somebody said I appear good all the time. I said it's because I'm good inside. And if you are good inside, it makes you good outside. And I believe in good things because good things are good. That's the first line of that message I just played for you. I listened to that tape, listened. In the first few months, I did like 70 times. Then if you check the number after I did over after that time, I can't count. Number where I gave it to, I don't know. Finally, one day, we found the old tape, digitized it. I loaded it to my website again and forwarded it to my brethren. Brethren, listen to something. Many of you here, you have listened to that message. Technology. Once those that day in school, my friend, they were quarreling, talking about, hey, Bishop, what do I talk about money? One of my friends said, this guy loves the Lord. He just doesn't know what he's saying. So I left the argument there. He went to his room. He was ironing. I came, I said, man of God. I called him Pastor Man. I said, Pastor Man, you are busy. I took the tape, slotted it into his machine. I said, please listen to this while you iron. And I went back to my room. After about 30 minutes, I came back. My brother, how is it going? He had abandoned ironing. He had gone to his bed in the heat and covered himself. I don't know why he did that. And in his hand, he had a small Gideon's Bible. And he was thumping through it aggressively. I said, I know I got this guy. I knew I got this guy. Just one tip, I put it inside. Now, why am I saying all of these things? God gave us technology for that purpose. That's how I bless, those are how I bless people. If I don't like you, I give you money. If I love you, I give you a message. Well, not literally like that, but I mean, when I really wanted to bless you, it was not money. Ask this wife I married. People, they chase women. What do you go with? Is it rose or flower? Flower is even bad. It's even the Bible that flower is not good. What does the Bible say about flower? The flower withers. Oh, God bless you. The grass withers and the flower fades. How you go to buy flower where they fade? You know your Bible. That sister who was doing arranging for me that time, she called me and said, I sister for my birthday. I said, sister for my again. She said, you know that sister we talked about? And I said, are you going to come? I said, yes, I will come. She did not know me that time, but we were planning for her behind her back. So, as I was going that day, what do I take? I took an empty tape. I used a tape recorder. There no, you know, this digital era had not come. I copied Bishop Oyedepo's message. Go for discoveries. That was my introduction. That's how I showed people I loved them. How are you? It's your birthday. I bring you a card and a tape. Go for discoveries. And she discovered the will of God. The Lord is good. Now, what have I learned to explain? That's what God gave us technology for. But now, of course, things are even much better. Now, with WhatsApp, Wi-Fi Direct on Samsung products, you understand? I went to preach somewhere the other day. And one lady, by the time she finished talking with me, she cried throughout, asked for counsel. When she was done, I talked and talked. I said, there's this set of messages I would like you to listen to. How do I get them? So they are not mine. I was not the one that preached them, but it should be. We're trying to see how we'll get it across to each other, to her. I was saying, okay, this pastor in town should have. And I was just, that's when I remembered, I said, it's on my phone. My phone can store by almost 50 gig of materials. So I have a huge load of messages on it. I just remember it's on my phone. I said, let's use Wi-Fi Direct because they are heavy. In less than a minute, I gave her nothing less than 7 hours of intense teaching. Just click go. And listen, there is no, let me just tell you, contrary to what people told you, there's no copyright on the word of God. Amen. No. I, on God's behalf, I hereby authorize you to disobey copyright on God's word. Once you are not selling it for profit. As to share it, even the person say that this material is copyrighted, say you can only sue me in the court of heaven. Tell the person, when we get there, we will talk. That you preach the gospel and I read it and you are angry that I did not pay. Is it your property? Ask this fellow, is it your property? Did you preach with your own power? Revelation was your own or God gave you? The Bible says he gave gifts unto men. Are you not a gift to me? Collect your something. When I say preacher, I say that, no, you don't copy this material. I say, who wants to copy himself? There's nothing inside now. If something is inside, I will copy him. And I will confess my sin unto God. Dear Father, I saw your word, and it was precious unto me. So I broke in and took it. Any objections, my Lord? He said, no, banky, no objections. It's my word. He said, there's only one thing I require of you. I said, what is it, Lord? Bless people with it. Share. Freely you have stolen, freely you will give. The Lord is good. Listen, brethren, that is why I don't, on our, if you buy our MP3 CDs, people are surprised at how much we price it. Uju was telling that she went somewhere, wanted to buy messages, 10 messages in one MP3, they said 1,000. I said, eh? In our place, it's 150. In our place, it's 150. On top of that, we will tell you, please, sharing is encouraged. When I go to preach some places, I have materials there, and I tell them, on our, what do you call it, School of Prayer collection, there are 122 complete teachings like this. 122 we packed into two DVDs, and we sell here for 500 naira. There are 122 messages in there that you can share with somebody else. That is, you collect it, you go and say, well, copy that to your CD. And as you are copying it to other people, we are praying for you. We decide that you are a co-worker with us. You are helping the ministry. In fact, if you can promise me, say, Pastor, see these messages, I want them, but I don't have money. This is my promise to you. For everyone you give me, I will copy it onto at least 10 different people's computers. God is my witness, I'll give you every single one. For every computer you copy it into, may the Lord give you extra money.
Amen.
Honestly. People say, why do you allow that? I say, why was I born? I don't know whether you get my point. You are helping me make sure that my mother's life is fulfilled. Because for she was not like a better to me. So you, by doing that, you say, this madam, you did not born a child anyhow. This one was born on purpose, by the will of God. That's what you are helping me do. You are helping me tell my wife, you made the right choice marrying this black guy. That's what you are doing. Why should I put a restriction on it? God gave us this technology to advance truth. I think I must be careful to take myself out of the way. When I released, should I say yes, into our website for free download, you know what I said? You know when the Jews do this, we take their tithes and their first fruits. God told them what to chant. They will say, I have taken the hallowed things out of my house. So when I released them, I said, Lord, I have taken the hallowed book out of my computer. That's what I told the Lord. I said, I'm sorry. For all the years I delayed in releasing it, I am sorry. Now I have released this thing. I have removed the hallowed things out of my house. Let it go forth and bless people. I derive my joy every time from checking how many downloads for the month. And of course, expectedly, for the last month, we broke Shulai CS into two files. God is a matchmaker, and Fundamentals of Christian Marriage were our top downloads for the last month. Right now, they are on top. All the things downloaded from our website, that's the one guys are. And for every person who downloads, who knows how many people they flip to their phones? That for me is the joy of my soul. It makes me rejoice. I went somewhere once. There's one woman I met, you know, at the port, at the jetty. When she saw me, she went on both knees in public to greet. I was embarrassed. And she had her children with her. Her husband was there. She just saw me. I just saw her approaching my direction. Then she stopped where I was and knelt down complete. Ah, madam, please get up. We're in the public. Later, I saw one brother. I told him, he said, that woman, you changed her life entirely. He said, oh, pastor, you won't know what you did for her. He said, you turned her life around entirely. She never came to Enugu. I hope you are getting my point. That is the aim of technology. I talked about the Romans. God made them build roads. The gospel walked on those roads and moved all over the place. Now, God has given us devices, electronic devices of all sorts. The primary reason is for advancing the knowledge of God, both in your personal life and around. Listen to this. What God requires of you in this season, to whom much is given. That's what I was talking about. Much is required. Can you imagine? When they first started, Bill Gates thought that an average person can do with 8 megabytes of memory space. I think it was 8 megabytes. What did he say? I don't know if I can remember. Those early days. Bill Gates did not think he would need up to 20 megabytes. But right now, it's a joke. If they sell you a phone that the internal memory now is less than 10 gigabytes, your friends are looking at you, well, I bet na techno. So they go, they look your phone. I mean, the latest Samsung, what they call it? The S7, yes. And then I think the Note 6. You can expand the memory to 250 gigabytes. Just about 20 years ago or so, Bill Gates did not think you need more than 8 megabytes. Or so, thereabout. I think 8 or 10. But because he thought it was just digits. Now, pictures, images, but for us, Word. What am I saying? That's your technology. It's your Roman road. It's your Roman road. When you pick your phone, that's what I expect. Now listen. Of course, if you're a preacher, you use your phone for advance the gospel. But now I'm talking about you as an individual. For your own life. Sometimes people say that, phones are expensive. I say, but sir, you have a car. Yeah, preachers, your friend. I'm sure he does not believe in spending $50,000 on a phone. But how much is his car? It depends on what you think he's supposed to do. I tell an average Christian, these days, having a good phone is not about whether I'm rich or poor. I think instead of having 2 pairs of shoes, have a pair of slippers and a good phone. Let me tell you the advantage of a good phone. There's a clock on it. There's touchlight. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
Good. But most importantly, there is an MP3 player, video player, message player, podcast catcher. Things to enrich the air around you with the spirit, with the letters that carry the spirit. To enrich your life with the word that transmits the spirit of God into your system. Sometimes you go to your friend and say, I would like to listen to this message. Hey, when can I get it? What is when can I get it? You flip the phone open. Where's your own? Put on your Wi-Fi for me. Okay, let me say, click. Which one do you want? David, the report. Gospel of what about? Click. Have you received that one? Click, yes. What about, you want Pastor Bangi? That one. You have up to 2 gig of space? The guy's phone has been changed, then his life will be changed. That's what I call the Roman road. God did not give us technology to be playing around. No. When you want to sleep, all this one, I can't sleep. What is worrying me? Listen, let me tell you how to worry back. It's very simple. Ask my wife. It works well. Just open that smartphone. Scroll to Understanding Praise and Thanksgiving by Kenneth Hagin. The Wonders of Thanksgiving, David Yedeko. And Life Works in Me by Pastor Banky. Just sequence the three of them and say, play. Leave it down there and lie down there. It's one of two things. Either the devil will let you sleep, or he will aid the advancement of the gospel into your life. You should choose one. I found out when it's night, that demon of worry will just say, there you go, good job. Yes, sir. I'm serious. The demon of worry leaves you alone. Fill your environment with the word of God. One thing sometimes in my house, I lie down at night. I put on my thing. You know when everybody is silent, small sounds very loud. So I put my tab or my phone under the pillow. Put the pillow on it and lie on it so that I've been very low voice so as not to disturb my wife. So Kennedy is talking or David Paulson is talking and they are talking and talking. Next thing I get a kick. It's not the spirit. My wife woke up And I realize that this man is listening alone. So when I get, somebody just kicked my leg and I said, what is it? So I moved the leg like, maybe I'm disturbing. She would stretch and kick further. I said, place it where I can hear it. Initially, I said, sorry, I didn't want to disturb your sleep. Said, don't worry. So just tune up the volume a bit and I put it in between us. Listen, you can fall asleep after 10 minutes. It doesn't matter. But for 10 minutes, and sometimes when you are dreaming, you start dreaming interesting dreams. All these other witches are pursuing me. It's when you watch too many home movies and you fall asleep worrying, witches will pursue you. But if you fall asleep with the word of God soaking your environment, you will dream of heaven and you are not dead yet. Listen, let me just stop here, all right, because of our time. What's the message I'm preaching? One major way we get faith, all right, is to let the word dwell around us. They cannot dwell in us. Fill your environment with it. This little device, I've seen preachers go after phone. Their phone is a distraction. Listen to me. A good phone is the will of God. Yes. All this money you used to buy Mary Kay and you are paying small. Women, buy a good phone. Put an investment inside it. I know one man of God, I respect, listens to us a lot here. Oh, this is interesting part. One day I entered UNTH theater. One man came for surgery. His son came for surgery and his son. The man was there. As soon as he saw me, he just brought out his radio to show me that he was listening to me just before I entered. Why? That man gives them memory cards as gifts when they do well. It's loaded. It can load 200 Pastor Banking messages in a small card and it's his gifts to you. So all of them in church carry small things that play SD cards. That is what, listen, why I'm talking about phone is that it's been a tremendous blessing to me. I write books on it. That's why I don't use small screen phones. My screen has to have a large screen. That's for me, I don't believe in show off. Show off is of the devil. If you buy an iPhone because you want people to think you have money, poverty is begging to come to your house. That's not, so forget all of that rubbish. I'm talking about function for your life. That's what I'm talking about. Say, listen, I need at least 25 gig of space. If you think anybody was born with gospel in his head, it's a lie. Yeah. You have to read it. I, Daniel, understood by books. Yes, through the anointing and revelation, the man read book. Yes, faith will not just drop from your head onto your head from heaven. When God wants to drop it, he passes it through words. Even though I believe, I'm one of those who believe that we can pray for faith. But when God wants to answer it, most times, he sends a word to you. And you must be available to hear the word. I still have many more things to say, but now I have really overshot the time. Let us close now. Let's bow down our heads and just say, Father, thank you. Let's just bow down our heads. Let's close now. Let's just thank the Lord. Father, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we have prayed. The Lord bless you for coming today in Jesus' name.
Amen.
The Lord will fill your life with his word in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
He will fill your heart with faith in him in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
You will have the faith of God.
Amen.
And you will speak to this mountain. Be removed from here and be cast into the sea and it will obey you.
Amen.
You will speak to disease. Leave my body and it will obey you.
Amen.
You will speak to a sickness. Leave my son's body and it will obey you.
Amen.
You will speak to lack. Leave my life and it will obey you.
Amen.
You will speak to frustration. Leave my system and it will obey you.
Amen.
You will speak to problems in your family. Live here and it will obey you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Lord will fill you with the dew of heaven.
Amen.
He will give you your own manna from heaven.
Amen.
Manna is the word of God. Your word for your season. God will send it to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
There is a word you need to hang your faith upon. The Lord will reveal that word to you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
He will release it to you in the name of Jesus
Amen.
Christ. God will supply all your needs. You will have your own.